spring of 1950, Oppenheimer had every reason to think that the FBI, HUAC, and the Justice Department were all closing in on him. Hoover was telling his agents that Oppenheimer might be indicted for perjury, and they had to continue to investigate him vigorously. Twice that spring, FBI agents had interviewed him in his Princeton office. The agents noted that while he had been entirely cooperative, he had also expressed great concern over the possibility of allegations concerning his past affiliation with the Communist Party being made a matter of public trial. He was deeply worried that his name would be linked to Joe Weinberg, whom the Crouches and HUAC had identified as Scientist X, a Soviet spy. Oppenheimer had last seen Weinberg at a Physical Society conference in 1949, shortly after Weinberg's troubles with HUAC had commenced. On this occasion, Weinberg sensed a coolness in their relationship. "So there was a cloud over our relationship at that point," Weinberg recalled. "The cloud would be that Oppie wouldn't know just what I was going to do. He would have to worry that the pressure on me might eventually be turned against him in some way. It was clear that he felt that there were things that were damaging to him that I could be made to say, whether or not I knew them, if I were in some way weak." Weinberg admitted to feeling terrified and bewildered by what was happening to him. He knew, of course, that he was guilty of having discussed the bomb project with Steve Nelson in 1943, but he did not know that his conversation had been recorded. Nor did he believe that he had committed espionage. Recently, the Milwaukee Journal had published an outlandish story claiming that Weinberg had been a courier for the Soviets and that he had even passed on a sample of uranium-235. "My God," he thought, "what connections could they have made to make up such a theory?" For a time, he felt he might crack. "I felt desperate. I felt utterly alone and broken down and beset on every side. I literally trembled. God knows what I could have been made to say if they, the FBI, had followed up." Fortunately for Weinberg, the authorities were moving slowly. That spring, a federal grand jury in San Francisco was weighing a perjury indictment against him. But the Justice Department had very little usable evidence. Weinberg had testified under oath that he had never been a Communist Party member and that he had never even met Steve Nelson. But the FBI wiretap was illegal and, therefore, inadmissible in court, and there was no other evidence that Weinberg had been a CP member. By April 1950, the Bureau had interviewed 18 present and former Communist Party members in the San Francisco area, and none of them was able to link Weinberg to the party. In the absence of the wiretap evidence, the grand jury failed in 1950 to return an indictment against Weinberg. Undeterred by this setback, the Justice Department convened a second grand jury in the spring of 1952. Their only other evidence against Weinberg was Paul Crouch's testimony that he had seen Weinberg at a party meeting talking to Nelson. Prosecutors were well aware that Crouch's testimony might be unreliable, but they may have calculated that a trial would shake loose further evidence against Weinberg, and perhaps even Oppenheimer. By that time, Weinberg had mustered the courage to stick it out. "They were fools," Weinberg later said of his antagonists. "They waited until I got a little bit less desperate and a little bit hardened." Interviewed by the grand jury, he refused to tell them anything, and certainly nothing about Oppie. "I was not going to get Oppie into this at all," Weinberg said. "That was the thing that would happen over my dead body."